This is John Williams. Let's talk with Jason Turner, Chief Investment Strategist at Wintrust Wealth Management. Jason, welcome back to the show. I hope you're well.
Doing well. Thanks, John.
What's your interpretation of the jobless claims?
Well, the jobless claims have returned to their pre-pandemic levels and maybe even surpassed them a little bit, even though the number today came in a little in excess of analyst estimates. It's still a digestible number for the economy and sends a signal that we are definitely on a road, quick road back to full employment.
Is there a number that we should be at? It's never going to be zero. I wonder what optimal is. Is there a figure you all think about?
If we look at the pre-pandemic years ending in 2019, we were averaging about 220,000 jobless claims a week. So the number at 206,000 is right back in that ballpark of what we would consider, air quotes, normal.
Boy, that really does make it sound like then a lot of workers evaporated because all the jobs haven't been filled. You know, it's that same question we've been asking all year. Where did the workers go?
Yeah, we're still about 3 million American workers short of what we were before the pandemic. And nearly 2 million of those are labor force participation declines that have persisted from March of last year all the way until now. There just aren't as many people in the labor force.
Interest rates are going to do what now? What's the forecast here?
Well, interesting comments from the Fed, or actually supportive comments from the Fed. I think they told us a lot of what many of us already were expecting, and that's three rate hikes next year and a faster pace on the taper. Estimates would now put that tapering process ending in March of next year, and then a beginning of the Fed marching higher with rates. I think three increases next year, and I think they're telegraphing three increases in 2023 as well, with a goal of getting to 2024 in their terminal rate of 2.25%.
Is the most important number, or the number that's on most people's minds, though, the inflation numbers, and where do you see that settling in?
Well, inflation is certainly the number that hits us most directly in the wallet. And for your average American, it's hitting us in those areas that really are most meaningful. It's food, it's energy expenditures, and it's shelter. And we haven't actually seen the shelter costs work their way through the inflation number yet. That calculation is a bit of a delay. It's an owner's equivalent rent calculation, and that'll probably see inflation tick even higher in the beginning of next year as we continue to deal with some of these supply chain issues and start to see some more of the impact of rising costs of shelter early next year. Now, that increase into the early part of next year, we start to see it dissipate from there. The supply chain issues should start to solve themselves, largely either through an adjustment to demand or improving conditions. And at the same time, most of the rush of prices that we saw in the last 18 months will have worked its way into the inflation number at that point, and we should see it level off and start to dissipate.
One other thing I wanted to ask you about, and that's the stocks out there. You know, Apple fell more than 2% yesterday, and some of the semiconductor stocks fell. And I'm wondering when the rest of the market is going to represent or lift the indices. It has been just a few, at least it was for much of last year and early this year. But you know what I mean? When are we going to get broader based support in the markets? What's your thought about that?
Yeah, I think we've seen a very concentrated market over the last year or so, as you rightfully point out. Just a few stocks and it's those big behemoth tech giants primarily really driving returns. What we've been looking for is some pivot point or rotation. And we've seen it in fits and starts where, you know, for a week or two, financials and industrials, those traditional old economy stocks will turn around and start to march higher, and then technology will grab the lead back. This Fed announcement may start to move us in that direction as we start to see the reality of a rising yield environment, rising rate environment, along with persistent inflation. Both of those things are typically bad for high valuation stocks like tech stocks. So we may be on the verge of that market pivot here, moving away from those narrow leadership of large tech names and moving into maybe more of a broader base leadership of more traditional value-ish names, industrials, financials, and the like.
Yeah, you just alluded to my next question. I don't have a lot of time here, but is there a sector you like? Where do you think that pivot's going to take place first?
Well, I already hit those too. In a rising rate environment, financial stocks tend to do a little bit better. And then those companies that are producing positive cash flows, like industrials, are those that tend to perform well in environments like this.
Jason Turner is the Chief Investment Strategist, Wintrust Wealth Management, wintrustwealth.com. Nice to talk to you, Jason. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, John.
Joan Salzman, Senior Reporter at CNET. Thanks for joining us on WGN.
Yeah, great to be here.
How are we going to do this Peloton Sex in the City story?
Well, how much spoilers do you want to avoid? All the spoilers or none?
Let me say this, that Peloton plays a significant role in what happens to one of the characters on the show. And you all are reporting that that episode may have actually affected their stock price, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There was last week the reboot series of Sex and the City called And Just Like That. It premiered, and in that episode, there was the death of an iconic character, not to be named, who died of a heart attack right after getting off an intense Peloton cycling session. So Peloton had no idea that their product would be portrayed in that way before it. But the day that it aired and the day after that, Peloton stock dropped meaningfully, at least 10% on the same day that the episode finally reached HBO Max.
I wonder, well, I guess Peloton's been in a negative trajectory since its high last year anyway, but 10% does seem to be cause and effect, doesn't it? That's quite a jump or a drop.
Yeah. You know, Peloton is a company, as you mentioned, you know, they've had difficulty. It's one of those companies that's been exposed to a lot of demand around COVID lockdown, and so as things have reopened, they've had some difficulty maintaining those highs. Some other things are going on with the company too, but it's also one that's got a lot of its value wrapped up in brand identity. And so if it looks like somebody else is controlling the narrative of their brand, that can really hurt their stock sometimes.
They responded with a commercial of their own then, didn't they?
Right. So lightning quick, within days of this episode airing, they responded with a satiric spot that cast the same actor who was portrayed as dying and the same Peloton instructor who was portrayed in the episode, having, you know, kind of like right on the nose lampoon of the scene. They're having a kind of conversation with some sexual innuendo, which is very on brand for Sex and the City, but basically reiterating all the heart healthy aspects of Peloton.
Right.
In case anyone had any confusion that Peloton actually is good for your heart and doesn't necessarily cause people to die of heart attacks.
Yeah, if you have a heart attack riding your Peloton, it's not the Peloton's fault. Okay, that's the pathway to a healthy life, not an unhealthy one. Fair enough. YouTube TV could lose ESPN, ABC, and other Disney channels. How come?
Yeah, YouTube TV is one of those live channel streaming services, basically one of those streaming services that kind of replaces cable or satellite for cord cutters, people who don't want to be part of that old school system of watching TV. But just like those other companies, the old ones, it has to renegotiate deals to carry networks every so often. And like we've seen in those old systems, we're having the problem where, especially with YouTube TV, they appear to be driving hard bargains. This is, I think, the third time in the last 6 months that they've come down to the wire in one of these contract negotiations and had to say, hey, these networks might go black. If they do, we'll give you a discount. But it still inserts a lot of uncertainty for those YouTube TV subscribers.
Yeah. I know people that have said, okay, do Hulu Plus, maybe YouTube TV if you're going to cut the cable. I wonder what the best package is for people. And I know it depends on what you want to watch and so on and so forth. But is there an easy answer to that, or does it really depend on the person, would you say?
Yeah, you've got it with that last point. It really does depend on the person. Part of the reason, as much as people like to complain about their cable company, one of the good things about a cable service is, yeah, it costs a lot, but you basically get everything and you get access to all, like, every network streaming app, basically. The great thing about all these streaming services is that you have a lot more options and they can be lower cost, but it really just depends on you and what you want, which ones you should sign up for, because it really does depend what you can get on each service. It varies a lot.
And is this true? I mean, a lot of us have said over the years, well, I want an a la carte cable company. I want to pick my own channels, not go with Flight 100, Flight 200. They have these preset packages. So I want something from this part of the menu, that part of the menu, and that part of the menu. And I think I will save money and get exactly what I want. I'm told, though, that it wouldn't work out that way, that there are subsidized costs built into those flights, if you will. And if you paid the true cost for each channel you were going to watch, unless you only wanted to watch a few, you would end up paying more than you think. What's your wisdom about all of that?
That's absolutely right. The reason we don't see a system like that where you can sign up for cable and pick and choose the specific channels that you want, partly because that's just not how networks, the people that make TV programming and run networks, it's not how they sell those networks to the distributors like cable companies or, in this case, a streaming company like YouTube TV. They kind of all come in one big package. So not only will the people who create and have the TV programming on the networks, they're not allowing that, but now we are in this world where we don't have a la carte choices. We have something close to it. You know, if you're a big fan of all the Disney things, you've got Disney Plus. If you love HBO and that sort of prestige drama, movie watching sort of viewing, you have HBO Max. But once you start, it is a matter of sort of nickel and diming. Once you start adding and compiling all those different services together, often people are paying maybe as much as they could be paying for a cable service.
Why did you write about Spider-Man?
Oh, well, Spider-Man. Everyone's excited about Spider-Man. No Way Home opens tomorrow, but, you know, it's probably the most anticipated movie coming into theaters this year, but it's also one that you can bank on not being available to stream. A lot of people have gotten used to being able to stream movies same day thanks to services like HBO Max making that an option. But especially with something like Spider-Man, we're seeing that that practice is likely not going to exist next year, and seems like Spider-Man No Way Home is kind of the heralding ring of the end, the death knell of those same-day streaming options.
Yeah. Oh, and we got to go, but if you're going to an Apple store, you may stand in line again, huh?
Yeah. Apple has reinstituted, as the Omicron variant persists and raises concerns, given so much that we don't know, Apple's reinstituting its COVID health safety restrictions in its store, especially important during the sort of last dash holiday shopping in these last few weeks before Christmas.
Yeah, doggone it. Broadway is shutting down some shows, too, because of this, for the same reason. Nice to talk to you again. Joan Salzman is a senior reporter at CNET. You can find her reporting at CNET.com. Thanks, Joan.
Yeah, thank you.
Kind of strange, isn't it, to think of the Mag Mile as a hometown, but it's one of the most densely populated neighborhoods in the state of Illinois. Tens of thousands of people call the Magnificent Mile home, and of course, thousands and thousands of visitors come through there, too. In fact, let's talk about one of those destinations. Jess Leno is on the line, the digital marketing manager at the Peninsula Hotel. Peninsula.com is, of course, the website. Jessica, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for having me today.
I was talking to somebody at Properties the other day, and they said, boy, if you could just go to one place in the Mag Mile, go to the Peninsula, stay there, eat there, just soak it in. So there's a compliment to what you guys have done.
Well, thank you so much. It is certainly a festive wonderland here, I will tell you that. Mm-hmm. We have so much going on for the holidays right now, so many activities, events, something for everyone here.
Well, as the stuff that you and I are about to talk about, things that are for your guests, or say I'm not staying overnight, but I just want to see what it's all about, are there opportunities for people to just come by casually that way?
Absolutely, yes. It is open for everyone. So I'll go through everything with you for guests, locals, anyone who just wants to pop by, but certainly people can come into our hotel and experience the holidays with us.
Well, I don't know what's first on your list, but I noticed some of the things you all do, and one of them is the Sky Rink, Chicago's only hotel ice skating rink, right?
Yes. So we have had this for about the past 10 years. It's a skating rink on our outdoor terrace, and this is open for anyone to come enjoy. I don't know about you, John, but I'm not the best ice skater, personally, and this rink is actually a synthetic material, so it is not ice, and it's actually a little bit easier to skate on. So you don't have to worry about slipping and falling on the ice, and it's open for adults, children. Children really love it. It's great for families.
And it doesn't matter, then, if it's 65 degrees outside.
No, exactly. You could come and still enjoy the skating time out on the terrace. What's nice about it, too, we donate all of the proceeds from our Sky Rink actually to two children's charities. So we work with Lurie's Children's Hospital as well as Hepzibah Children's Home. So all of the skate rental proceeds will go to both of those charities.
Take me back inside. Tell me about the lobby. Tell me about the restaurants. What do I do or see when I go to the peninsula?
Yeah, absolutely. So starting with the decor, have you actually come to see it, John?
Not at Christmas time. I'm kind of anxious to see what you've done.
Oh, we'll have to have you over here then. So we have decor in all of the main areas of our hotel, starting with the exterior, actually. So our theme across all Peninsula hotels right now is stories from the tree. So you'll find our Peninsula storybook characters in all of our decorations all around the hotel, from a reindeer to gingerbread men to nutcrackers. So starting on the outside, our front entrance actually has holiday soldier-like bears that are up in front of the doors with a lot of gold and silver ornaments, garland, twinkling lights. Then you walk in, you see our holiday desk. We have a holiday desk right at that front entrance that actually looks like a gingerbread hut, and that's where you can purchase Peninsula gift cards. We have ornaments for sale, candles, and then you go upstairs to our main lobby on the fifth floor. You actually walk down the long gallery walkway that we have, and it is just full of holiday trees, garland from the ceiling, twinkling lights everywhere, and you look to our lobby restaurant, and we have a 20-foot Christmas tree that is the main wow factor in our lobby restaurant. So anyone who is dining there in the lobby is just surrounded by Christmas decor.
Talk about some of the winter packages you've put together.
Absolutely. We have two holiday room packages that guests can reserve. So the first one is our Holly Jolly package for families. So that includes an in-room holiday tree actually put into your suite, a holiday welcome amenity, breakfast for four. Guests could actually reserve holiday movies and holiday games to play with their kids as well. And then we have our Merry and Bright holiday package, which is great for couples. That includes an in-room holiday tree, the holiday welcome amenity. We're actually giving Neiman Marcus gift certificates with that package as well, so you could shop right here on the Mag Mile, and breakfast for two. So both of those are available on our website, peninsula.com/Chicago.
This is on Michigan Avenue?
Correct, yes.
Where in relation to Water Tower Place is it? It's on the other side, right?
It is on the other side. So we are actually directly south of Water Tower Park. So we are on the corner of Michigan and Superior.
And the park is nicely decorated, too. There's kind of a nice holiday bustle going on around there.
There is, yes. Just being here right on the Magnificent Mile, all the trees are lit up. There's actually a Christmas tree in Water Tower Park as well. So it looks so festive around here.
And one last thing, then, you guys do it up for New Year's Eve as well, don't you?
We do, yes. So we have two parties coming up for New Year's Eve. We are hosting a black tie gala dinner in the lobby that will have a live band and dancing at night. And then Z Bar is also hosting our New Year's Eve soiree, and that has an open bar, past appetizers, and we'll have a DJ spinning all night for that. So both of those parties are right now on our website, peninsula.com/Chicago as well. And then for holiday dining, we have quite a few options for people to actually come eat with us here throughout the holiday season. So one of the main things that we have is our holiday afternoon tea, and that is in the lobby. I think our chefs did an excellent job with the pastries, with the little tea sandwiches that we have. So that is available through January 9th. We do have limited reservations for those available still that first week of January, so January 1st through the 9th for holiday afternoon tea. We're actually giving away a really cool little gift when you come dine for holiday afternoon tea with us. Our chefs came up with a gold hot chocolate bomb for you to take home and make your own hot chocolate with. And then it's really cool. It's actually gorgeous. They painted it with this gold plating on the outside. It almost looks too pretty to eat.
Yeah, right. I've seen the images I'm looking at it. Brochure I have are really impressive and delicious looking. And frankly, the setting would just be the sort of thing that if you were to go there and take some pictures or go there every year, it would be a destination for a family tradition. It really looks like a big time, big city Christmas send up, and it's well done. Well done, Jessica.
Thank you so much. And absolutely, people come here year after year. This is their tradition to come here with their family. Even if you don't have a reservation for our afternoon tea, we're open daily in the lobby for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So it's great just to be surrounded by the decorations and the big Christmas tree. The Christmas tree does come down right before our New Year's Eve party. So if guests do want to see that Christmas tree, it will be up for the next about 2 weeks.
Jess Leno is the digital marketing manager, Peninsula Hotel. Nice to talk to you, Jess. Happy holidays.
Thanks. You too. Thank you so much, John.
On the Wintrust Business Lunch, here's more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. McDonald's is getting back a severance payment given to its former CEO. Steve Easterbrook received $105 million, but the company sued him, claiming he wasn't forthcoming about his actions while McDonald's investigated his relationship with employees. Easterbrook was fired over sexual relations with subordinates. He's returning the severance as part of a settlement. He's apologized, saying he didn't live up to expectations as a leader. A deal's in place for the state of Illinois to sell the Thompson Center in Chicago. Governor Pritzker says the state has entered into exclusive negotiations with real estate developer Prime Group to sell the building for $70 million. He says the deal will save taxpayers about $800 million in the long run. Prime Group plans to redevelop the building before the state buys back a portion of it for $148 million. State offices will move back into the Thompson Center after renovations. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
How's the traffic, Mary Vandeveld?
Actually, not too bad. We do have some signals out because of the high winds. They're still out at Route 137 and O'Plain, in Summit at Harlem and Archer, South Side at 35th and LaSalle, just to name a few. Also on the Edens, no delays, but the Kennedy is heating up 40 minutes out to the airport, about 36 inbound. Minor Eisenhower delays up and into 1st Avenue. Up on Stevenson in the Tri-State, 28. Dan Ryan's okay, 80-94, a bit tight westbound from Broadway to Kennedy. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
Dow's been up a little bit, not so much the NASDAQ. Bob Kessler, what do you see?
Dow is up at the moment, 0.2%, 76 points at 36,003. Yes, the S&P 500's down close to 0.5%, 22 points at 46.87. NASDAQ's down the largest proportion, 2%, 287 points. It's at 15,278.
Here's the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Yeah, I know it's lunchtime, John, and apologies for the indelicate nature of this, but let's talk about belching. Belching cows. The men and women of agriculture are good stewards of the earth, and they are stepping up to do their part in lowering GHG emissions. That's where Colin Beal and his company, Low Carbon Ranch, come in.
I grew up raising cattle in Virginia. I went to school for engineering.
And with that combo of education and experience, his company, Low Carbon Beef, has just received certification from the USDA that will eventually allow you to buy certified low carbon beef at the meat counter, knowing that each animal was raised under strict guidelines.
The data that is included in our certification spans feed, fuel, fertilizer, which includes manure management and function or cattle performance.
This is brand new, and it'll be a while before low-carbon beef shows up in stores, but Beal says in the first week of certification, the buzz is good.
People are excited about having a product that's differentiated like this, and we look forward to getting more cattle enrolled and working with more retailers to get the product into the markets.
If you raise cattle and you want to sign up for this, it is free. Just go to lowcarbonranch.com. If you eat beef and you like the sound of this,
mention it to their retailers and where they purchase their beef, whether it's online or in stores, and they can find more information at lowcarbonranch.com.
At the Chicago Board of Trade, beans are up about 15 cents now. Wheat is up at 12 cents, and corn is up about a nickel right now. From the farm to your belly, oh boy, today is National Chocolate-Covered Anything Day. Use your imagination. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Amy Guth, let's talk about Reddit to start our conversation. What's the news there?
Yeah, so Reddit has they filed confidential plans for an IPO. We don't know a lot of details about that yet. And that came from a little bit of surprise from some, but then some industry watchers kind of were not surprised at all. Here's a 16-year-old social networking site. So those surprised by it thought, well, why now? But then again, you and I talked about, like, the meme stock frenzy and what happened with GameStop and all of that. Suddenly, it got a huge boost. Also, it had announced in August that it raised another $410 million in funding. So that gives it a valuation of more than $10 billion. So those kind of those who are watching that part of things and the funding part, perhaps not so surprised by this. But, you know, it's a huge site. There's a lot on it. Those who aren't familiar, they call themselves the front page of the internet. Essentially, it's a place where you can talk about literally anything that you want to discuss. There's a group there for it. We, again, don't know a ton about it, of how many shares they're going to offer, what kind of valuation they're going to be looking for, but we'll probably find that out very soon, given that they filed these confidential draft with the SEC to go public.
It's a good place to find speed jokes too, I'll add. And you're right. and if there's a topic you want to talk about, if they're not talking about it, you can generate that topic. And so if you ever wondered, I wonder if I'm doing the right thing, and there's actually a section that I can't describe on the radio because of the language they use for it, but then everybody tells you if you were right or wrong in that instance in your life. So yeah, it's certainly a going platform. Kraft is in the news today. Why is Kraft in the news?
Well, so this is kind of a clever workaround, I would say. So there is a cream cheese shortage, and a lot of people, like bagel makers, have been talking about this. You've seen some, there was a deli in New York that was tweeting about it recently. And so coming up on Christmas, a lot of people were kind of bemoaning, well, there's a dessert I make. What do I do? So Kraft is going to pay people to not make cheesecake this holiday season. Essentially, this starts tomorrow and the day after. So it's just 2 days only. You have to reserve a spot to claim a dessert reservation on this Kraft site. Then once it's confirmed, they will send you a one-time link. You can go buy any dessert you want with the receipt dated the 17th through Christmas Eve, and then you can redeem it. You submit your dessert receipt and they'll pay you back. So essentially, they're going to buy dessert if you don't buy cream cheese to make a cheesecake. And so that's how that's going to work. So it's a site, spreadthefeeling.com is where people can go starting tomorrow at noon, noon Eastern time. So 1 o'clock hour time here in Chicago, and grab that spot. There's a limited number of them. I think 10,000 is the cutoff. So people, if you want to get in on that, you better be ready to move tomorrow. But it's kind of a clever idea to get people around the, some of the supply chain issues that Philadelphia is kind of going, hey, we're trying. Here's what we're going to do instead. Go buy an apple pie. We'll pay for it. And then you can, go make your cheesecake another time.
So it does not have to be a Kraft product that you're buying that they're going to buy for you, huh?
That's right. Any desserts. You could, go to Jewel or Mariano's or whatever, buy a dessert there, and then submit your receipt, and they will pay you back for that.
McDonald's is in the news as well. I know Steve Grzanich touched on that, but what else do you know about this story?
Yeah, so Grzanich did cover quite a bit of it, but essentially, this has been an ongoing story, and McDonald's has been in the news a lot, but one issue that they've been in the news for is when Steve Easterbrook was fired as CEO, some other allegations emerged, and McDonald's said, hey, we didn't have the full picture then, so that $105 million severance package we gave you, we want it back. And they've been in a court battle over it, but it has been ruled that the lawsuit has been settled, and he does have to return that $105 million severance package. He apologized for making some wrong decisions at that time. So not the end of the worries for McDonald's. There's still some discrimination allegations against them unrelated to that. But this one piece that was really a very big news story several months ago really has been settled for now.
And here's just one other big number. We got 45 seconds. Bruce Springsteen is going to pocket $500 million.
Yeah, so he's reportedly sold his music rights to Sony Entertainment. If all the numbers being reported are accurate, it could be the biggest deal ever struck for a single artist's work, because it's not just his music catalog, but it would also be all of his songwriting catalog, which he's written a ton of other songs, in addition to his big hits like Born to Run and Born in the USA and all of those. So, we've seen this. You and I have talked about a couple of them. Bob Dylan did it. Warner bought the rights to David Bowie's catalog in September. So Billboard has been reporting on this. They've been really kind of out in front of it, trying to just kind of confirm pieces of it as they go. Representatives for Springsteen and Sony have not been very public about it yet, but I do anticipate that'll be coming shortly.
Amy Guth on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thank you, Amy.
Thanks so much, John.